and he's sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Popham. The Giants not only have a rich tradition of NFL championships and Super Bowl victories, but also are prominently displayed in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, starting back from the 1930s to the present time. Over the next 30 minutes, we take a look at the Giants' history in the Hall of Fame, including some great names from the 1950s.
Being enshrined in the Hall of Fame is Pro Football's greatest honor. Mara, Lombardi, Owen, Landry. Legendary New York Giant figures who were forever immortalized with their induction into this hallowed hall. And in 1971, quarterback Y.A. Tittle became yet another Giant great to join this elite group. The New York Giants acquired Tittle in a 1961 trade with the San Francisco 49ers. Tittle is one of only eight quarterbacks in NFL history to throw 30 or more touchdown passes in consecutive seasons. In 1963, he threw 36 touchdown passes in only 13 games, setting a record that stood for 35 years.
Wyatt Tittle was an unbelievable competitor, had a great arm, and there's a sidearm delivery, which was kind of tough on a receiver if you come across the middle, because the ball would come between linebackers and all of a sudden be in your arms, and it smoked.
He had an arm, he could throw that ball on a dime, and was a real leader.
And in the 1962 season, in a game against the Redskins, Tittle had a game that all NFL signal callers can only dream of, throwing for 505 yards and a record-tying seven touchdown passes.
We threw the ball, we had great receivers. All I had to do was just, any, meeny, miny, moe, which one am I going to throw to? Gifford, Schaffner, somebody in the backfield. I had a lot of players to catch a ball. Somebody said, you've tied the record, but we can go and break the record with one more. And it would be just like playing for self-glory. And I never did want to be known as that type of person. You love your teammates, you love your team, but you love your individual accomplishments. Something I can tell my children and grandchildren. I'm an old man. I still enjoy getting my grandchildren's glory.
Tittle is known as one of the toughest quarterbacks to ever play the game, and perhaps he is best known for a 1964 photograph taken during his final season. It is regarded as one of the most iconic images in all of sports.
I'm not sure it symbolizes toughness. I'm not sure how tough I was. My office staff has it all over the wall, but it's turned out to be a very famous portrait.
In 1971, Tittle was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, capping an illustrious career and fulfilling a lifelong dream.
It has to be the greatest honor of your life to be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know what heaven's like. I know it's great. I hope I get there, but that was pretty close to heaven.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles Hall of Famers. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles Hall of Famers. In the 1952 draft, the New York Giants selected Frank Gifford out of the University of Southern California as their number one pick.
I loved to play, and I guess I had this kind of all-around ability. Fast, and they can do certain things, run over people. I could do all of it fairly well.
With his wide variety of skills, Gifford quickly became one of football's shining stars, and his impact would help the Giants return to glory in 1956.
Well, 1956 was a very special year by any standard. New York had all of a sudden awakened to the fact that there was a professional football team. All of a sudden, we were selling out Yankee Stadium. You put that all together into a magical year, if you will. We had Vince Lombardi as the offensive coach. Tom Landry is our defensive coach, and we had the best defense in football, and we had a pretty good offense. I mean, offense was growing up, and we had a magical season and wound up beating the Chicago Bears for the NFL championship 47-7 in Yankee Stadium. And as far as I'm concerned, that was when not only the Giants arrived, that was when pro football arrived.
Gifford was the Prince of New York, and the Giants were the toast of the town. But in a cold 1960 game versus the Philadelphia Eagles, Gifford suffered an injury that would put his playing career in serious jeopardy.
Chuck Bednarik, I caught the ball just about the same time he caught me, and then I was coming across the middle, and he hit me in the chest, went back and hit on my butt, and my head snapped back, and the field was semi-frozen at the time, and it was hard.
Frank would miss the rest of the 1960 season and would sit out the 1961 season as well, and it looked like his playing days were over. But in 1962, he would not only return to the Giants, he was selected to the Pro Bowl as a wide receiver. Gifford retired from the Giants in 1964 and launched a successful career in broadcasting, highlighted by his role as the play-by-play announcer for ABC's Monday Night Football. And in 1977, he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Frank Gifford was one of the greatest players ever to play for the Giants. He added dignity, tone, and class to our entire operation. Even amongst stars, he was a standout.
In 1956, the New York Giants drafted a tough, hard-nosed player from the University of West Virginia, Sam Huff.
You know, I came from West Virginia and as the son of a coal miner. And when I came to New York, it was just, I was like I was born to play here.
As a rookie in 1956, Huff would benefit from the tutelage of some of the most brilliant minds football has ever known.
Do you realize we had the greatest coaching staff in the history of the National Football League? Vince Lombardi coached the offense and Tom Landry coached the defense and Jim Lee Howe was the head coach.
Landry's 4-3 defensive scheme was designed to take advantage of the instinctive skills of his middle linebacker, Sam Huff.
It was Tom Landry who saw something in Sam that made him think I could turn him into a linebacker. And he was an instant linebacker. He was quick, he was smart, and he was very fast. He had great speed. And he had intelligence that you had to have to play Tom Landry's defense number one. And to play middle linebacker was the key to it.
In his 8 years with the franchise, Huff and the Big Blue would capture 6 Eastern Conference titles and 1 NFL championship.
What gives you the feeling about some plays is success. Success breeds success. Winning is the only thing. Lombardi used to say that.
In those 8 seasons with the Giants, Sam would amazingly never miss a game. And he played in 4 consecutive Pro Bowls with the Big Blue, spanning from 1958 to 1961. And he's still considered one of the best middle linebackers to have ever played the game.
Sam Huff, I'm looking, number 70 up there. He didn't believe that anyone could beat the Giants. He thought he was the greatest middle linebacker in the world. He was great. He thought he was, and he convinced us he was. And I think he was.
No one at the time had ever come along to play that position. But then over the years, you kept thinking, is there ever going to be another Sam Huff? We've seen a lot of great linebackers, Ray Nitschke, they come and they get Butkus. I don't think any of them have been better than Sam Huff.
In 1982, with his mentor Tom Landry introducing him, Sam Huff would be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I want to take this opportunity to personally thank the man who taught me how to play pro football, and of course, that is Tom Landry. I am deeply honored that all of my friends are here with me today, the greatest day of my life. Thank you very much.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Hall of Famers. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Hall of Famers.
Freak, phenomenal, just a phenom.
In a word, awesome. The guy was the greatest I've ever been around.
Probably the most talented guy I've ever seen in my life.
He's the greatest defensive player to ever play. Best one ever put on the pad.
Lawrence Taylor joined the Giants in 1981 as a highly touted linebacker out of the University of North Carolina. LT would make an immediate impact, taking the league by storm and terrorizing opposing offenses.
Once we got into the season, and I could see just how effective he was in rushing the quarterback and, you know, the quickness and the speed and so forth, and how he just changed the game, then I recognized that we had something really special.
Lawrence would be named Defensive Rookie of the Year and he would form a special bond with then-Giants defensive coordinator Bill Parcells.
Well, it's my guy, you know. We came together, an assistant, and he was a young draft choice, and a catalytic player, dynamic, easy to coach. That was the great thing about Lawrence. You teach him something, he can take it right with him. Your job when you get a player like that is to let the talent flourish.
Be more aggressive on that special now. They'll come back with that. You know, that slant counter there?
Yeah.
Kick it over.
I want to show how to play that.
Yeah.
Here we go, Lawrence. Kick it over.
Yeah.
With a rare combination of speed and power, Taylor became the most feared player in the NFL.
He was just greatness personified. I mean, this guy did things that we'd never imagined could be done. I mean, his speed, catching a running back, I mean, a quality all-pro running back from the backside, his power, running over 300-pound offensive linemen as if though they were figurines, you know, intimidating quarterbacks to the point where, you know, they wouldn't call signals until they found out where it was 56. He rewrote the entire book, and this guy never let up.
Taylor was a three-time league defensive player of the year, and he was selected to 10 Pro Bowls. LT retired in 1993 with 132.5 career sacks and was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1999. He will go down in the annals of NFL history as arguably the greatest defensive player ever.
Without you guys, there wouldn't have been a Lawrence Taylor, but there wouldn't have been an LT. Thank you very much.
Harry Carson was the fourth-round draft pick of the New York Giants in 1976 and is considered to be one of the most intimidating players in NFL history.
Harry was just absolutely blood and guts and just total domination. Dick Vermeil had said that he can't tell you what the prototypical middle linebacker would look like, but he knows that that middle linebacker has to wear number 53. I thought that he was probably the best middle linebacker that ever put on the uniform.
He was an unbelievably intimidating physical presence.
Harry would be joined by Lawrence Taylor, Brad Van Pelt, and Brian Kelly to form one of the fiercest defensive units the NFL has ever seen.
Brad, Brian, Lawrence, and myself, you know, we were the crunch bunch, and we were big, strong, fast, and we were able to get after people. Lawrence was on one side, Brad was on the other side, Brian was next to me, and you just felt like you could just smack people around. When the offense broke the huddle and you could see the fear in their eyes, I'd never been a part of a group that demanded so much respect than that group, especially those linebackers.
Harry would captain the Giants to a magical season in 1986, helping to lead them to their first championship in 30 years.
Oh, they're going to throw the ball. He's going to get a touchdown if he holds it. Touchdown! Harry Carson.
I just knew once we took the field in 86 that we were going to win the Super Bowl that year.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants. Everybody's dream in football. That one time you'll be there.
For me, it's just something extremely special because you bond when you're on a team. And that's one of the key things about winning a championship. When you stop the Denver Broncos, you know, four times within the five-yard line, you know, that's a bond that will never be broken. And it's probably one of the best highlights of my career to win the Super Bowl that year.
Harry would retire from the Giants in 1988, and the Hall of Famer will always remember the words of the Giants patriarch, Wellington Mara.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, that really is the motto of the organization. I feel like, you know, I'm part of the family. I feel like I'm certainly a part of the extended Giant family. And it's all because of Wellington Mara. I mean, we all hold him in very high regard. And I played 13 years, and I really couldn't see myself playing for any other team. I just wanted my legacy to be as a Giant. One team, 13 seasons, and that was it.
I had the opportunity to play a fantastic game with fantastic people. This is for all of you. It's not just about me, but this is for all of you. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Hall of Famers. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Hall of Famers. In 1983, the New York Giants hired Bill Parcells to be their new head coach. Parcells was the team's defensive coordinator in 1981 and 1982 and had redesigned the Big Blue defense to match his own tough, aggressive style.
We were changing philosophies to a three-man line, and of course we got Lawrence and Jim Burt and several other guys that year. And there were a period of about 2 or 3 years there where you put that defense in front up there and they couldn't block any of them. And that's a pretty secure feeling as a coach to have a defense up there where they couldn't block any of them.
From the beginning, it was clear that Parcells' fiery coaching style would take some getting used to.
Fortunately, I had a good support system there with the Giants, and the whole organization got behind me, and I probably wasn't too easy to get behind in those days.
Some of these guys got to get their head out of their ass around here.
A little bit mercurial, a little bit brusque would be the word.
What the are you doing standing 10 yards in the backfield? Get up on the line. Don't you know how much time's on the clock?
And I was probably pushing the envelope harder than I should have, more determined than I ever was. Fortunately, things fell in place, and we started winning pretty regularly.
In 8 seasons as Giants head coach, Parcells compiled a record of 85-52-1, while winning 3 division titles and 2 Super Bowls, turning the once-struggling franchise back into winners. And in 2013, he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Presenting Bill Parcells for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, George Martin.
Bill changed the face of pro football from this standpoint. He made pro football players students of the game. Up until that point, it had just been X's and O's, and it was a physical game. He showed us the mental, the intelligence of it.
Hey, fellas, this is what you work all offseason for. This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that.
He challenged us, and he made us a team. And we were a team, and we were his guys.
I had the exact right kind of players, understood my personality, bought into the program at the absolute most critical time in my career.
That's a good catch, Mark. Big play, son. That's the way to go. Hey, those guys are going to beat you around. You got to learn to beat their hands off you. You know what I mean?
I understood him right away. I loved him, you know, right from the get-go. You know, to me, he was a pretty easy guy to understand. You know, do your work. You know, keep your mouth shut. Don't self-aggrandize. That's the kind of guy I want to play for. You know, I don't think I would have played as hard for anyone else. I know I wouldn't have.
Phil, look, when we call the wide kid, that's who we're trying to throw to.
Don't
be too inventive, okay?
Okay, they took him. They're covering him.
I know, I saw it.
They're just going over
him the last time?
Yeah, yeah. Just, all right, I see what I'm doing.
In my career, the guy that kind of changed my mindset was Bill Parcells. There's no question. Just the way he talked to me and made it really personal and really kind of let me know that, look, we're going to win or lose because how you play, let's go. And it made me feel great.
All right, we got to get something going here. Now, so.
Damn, I know it. Go!
If that ever was a motivator, somebody that could look at talent and say, this guy going to be special, this guy can do something, that's what he was. And that's the difference between being a great coach and just being a coach.
I learned a lot from the way Bill handled the team, from the way Bill handled all the different types of games, the big games, the games where we were the favorite, the games where we were the underdog, the games where we were, you know, on the road. And Bill was very good in that he would bring me into his office and say, look, here's something that I'm dealing with, here's a situation. And that helped enlighten me to things that I would eventually deal with, you know, as a head coach.
In addition to the victories earned on the football field, Parcells also won the love and respect of his players.
He's a guy that taught you what, in the terms of football, what family is about, what fighting for one another and caring for each other is about, because we forged friendships in that locker room that, you know, still exists to this day.
the rest of your life. The rest of your life, man. Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did it. I
had a good support system, a good front office, tremendous ownership. I couldn't ask for any more.
I'm honored, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful to every single one of you out there that had something to do with this. Thank you very much.
Bill Parcells helped the Giants return to championship glory, delivering their first championship in 30 years and winning another in 1990. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2013. And this year, Michael Strahan adds to the list of Giants in Canton, Ohio. That wraps it up for this week's show. I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us here on Giants Chronicles. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com.